shipping us their front lawn decorations for Halloween and their pumpkins at CLE Talking Heads. So please do that. And I think what we'll do is we'll just start retweeting all of them to just cleanse everyone's X timelines. Because
are we judging then?
Or? Everything right now is filled with Brown's sadness and political garbage and all of that. And let's just get the fun stuff in life. Let's get everybody's like front lawns and all of that kind of stuff, and your pumpkins that you're carving with the kids and all that. And we'll retweet them at CLE Talking Heads. Like, just keep them clean. Don't, if you got a really funny one, feel free to send it to us. But don't be offended if we don't retweet it. But no, we'll laugh at it.
I don't know. I like Dougie Fresh is pretty good. He's got Brutus Buckeye out there. Ooh, Sean F.
You got to see his pumpkins.
Wow, I'm his looking at those.
His pumpkins are unreal. He's got the Joker on here. But
is that self-carved or is it?
What he was telling me on here, and of course, our X mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads. I asked him. He said there was no power tools on these, just kitchen knives and pumpkin carving tools to shave it.
That's awesome.
We're going to retweet this one. This is outstanding. But yeah, send them all to us.
Okay,
at CLE Talking Heads.
All right, let's get to Brian.
And
Anderson.
We'll retweet all this stuff.
All right, BA is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Brian. Do you partake in that? I know you got little ones. Do you participate?
You carving pumpkins, BA?
Do you carve them or no?
No, I do not carve pumpkins. Here's the thing. I have been trying to get my fall look out in front of my house for like the past 3 days. There's a place, I don't even want to name it because they haven't been open for the last 3 days, which I don't understand. However, great place to be able to get all that stuff. You can get bales of hay, you get corn stalks, you can get everything. And it's awesome. Did it last year. The front of the house looked awesome. Last 3 days, I've made the drive, and it's not a real fun drive to make. I've made the drive, and they have been closed all 3 days. I don't understand it. Yeah.
Are you here? Are you in Ohio or you're in Florida?
No, I'm in Florida.
Okay.
I'm in Florida.
I would assume that it's easier, especially when you're living in Geneva, that you would have been able, it would have been easier to do that in Northeast Ohio than it would be in Florida. We just seem to have more of that stuff around, more farming, right?
You know what? Yes and no. I'll tell you, when you get out of the main drag, you get out of Tampa, you get out of St. Pete, you start to move a little bit inland or even north, there is a lot of farmland here that gets farmed. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And the livestock, they're not as it's funny, the cattle down here are not nearly as robust as they are back home. The same with when you see a deer, you're like, yeah, that's not a Northeast Ohio deer, that's a fawn up in Northeast Ohio. But yeah, there's a lot of farmland, and there are a lot of farmers markets, and there are a lot of really good places to be able to take the kids for hay rides. You'd be surprised. I was surprised, because you're right, it seems that back home, that is everywhere you turn.
Yeah, especially Florida, from your neck of the woods. I mean, it's close to Charlotte.
Yeah, and Florida, you think beaches. And
orange stands. Grapefruit stands, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that, but there is a lot of farmland. There's a lot of fall stuff that goes on down here. Remember, a lot of the people down here are from up there.
That's true.
They are former Midwestern people, and they just like myself, as much as the weather doesn't always cooperate, we love the feeling of fall and having the pumpkins out there and having the bales of hay and having all the things out there that make you feel like you're back home.
All right, BA, we got a World Series that kicks off tonight. Yankees versus Dodgers. This is the matchup that baseball wanted. I'm going to say it. This is the matchup that I wanted, and I think this is the matchup that we should have. You agree?
I do. Truth be told, and I think you guys are well aware of this, as are the fans back home. If the Rays aren't going to be in it, I want Cleveland. And so I was pulled like crazy that Cleveland would somehow be able to pull off that upset against the Yankees. However, when it became apparent that they were not, and it was going to be the Yankees moving on, then you're like, Dodgers, give me – yeah, I do not want the Subway Series again. Nobody cares. We get it. You're 8 miles apart. That's awesome. I wanted to see East Coast, West Coast, the two monster teams in each league. Yeah, I think that's the matchup. There's no question baseball wanted it, and I think that's what a lot of the fans, if your team wasn't in it, you want to see the two behemoths go at it. You want to see Judge versus Ohtani and Betts versus Soto. You want this matchup, and we've gotten it. So thank goodness it's finally underway.
Yeah, it's still $500 million in payroll between the two. Think about that, right?
Well, listen, to your point, you're right, this year. But,
yeah.
Boy, there are a lot of other years. The Diamondbacks were in the World Series last year. The Rangers won it. You know, you go back to 19, the Washington Nationals. You had the Royals in there winning it. The Giants. There's been a lot of different teams that hasn't always been the biggest spenders. In fact, the biggest spenders a lot of times have really, you know, they've not gotten off. They've not done what the payroll said that they should. So, you know, you're getting a different champion just about every year. You very rarely get a repeat champion anymore. So while this year it is about the two the biggest payrolls, it's also the two, arguably the two best teams. And so you're getting that matchup. But in years past, again, there have been teams that have been able to sneak in. Last year, the Diamondbacks with 84 wins were able to knock out the Padres and the Dodgers. You know, they knocked out the two big boys and were able to slide in. So baseball is tricky like that. But this year, you know, the money spent was obviously money well spent, and those two teams are going to battle it out.
BA, how far away are the Guardians away from being – I mean, you know, three wins is one way to put it. But I also think, you know – I don't know that you can play the bullpen game the way they did this year and get as lucky as they did. And not lucky is probably isn't the right word. Hot as they got with the bullpen and had so much success, especially for young guys. But how far away is this team? Are the Guardians?
I don't think that they're that far at all. It depends on, you know, what are you going to do to your team offensively? What is going to be your identity offensively? You're going to have some guys that can knock the ball out of the ballpark. You're going to have to create runs. We saw that. You know, they steal a lot of bases. They're very active first to third. Good base running team. You have to be that. You have to find different ways to score runs. And I think that it's all about, you know, the bullpen is going to continue to be strong, and I'm sure that they'll look to bolster that and make it even stronger if that's possible, because it was the best bullpen in baseball this year. But then it's about getting more production out of your starters. You know, you had a lot of young guys. You know, a lot of young guys, and you had some injuries. So you get the injured guys back. The young guys have a year of experience under their belt. They've gotten an opportunity to start and pitch in playoff games, which is going to help you develop as a pitcher because, as we've talked before, it's the same game. It's a different game. It's a different game. And when you realize, hey, I can go out there, calm myself down, slow the game down, and be effective in the playoffs, that's going to help you that much more in the regular season. So it's all about the maturation process of their starters, getting more out of them. The bullpen will continue to be strong. So I don't think that this team's that far away at all. I think that when you get right down to brass tacks, that you think, well, you know what? The two teams in that AL Central, well, I should say three, because the Royals are right there. Royals, Tigers, Guardians. I mean, that's going to be a fun race to watch. And you know, we'll see how it shakes out and what the offseason holds, but that team is not far away at all. They were already knocking on the door. They need a little bit more, but so did, you know, 30 other teams. And everybody needs a little bit more. There's only two teams can get there.
The best friend of the show, Brian Anderson, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I think the other side of this, man, as much to all these people who are grumpy about this World Series, it feels to me like sometimes you need to let the villain win. You know, the reason like part one of the Avengers movie worked was because Thanos won. And so you kind of had that like little bit of hate that came with that, you know, and it kind of drives it all a little bit more. It's a part of what makes this great. And so that's where I am too, is it's like, as much as we could be grumpy that it's payroll two versus payroll three, it's like, yeah, but if they win, boy, that fires everybody else up.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and again, it's, you know, that's, I don't know. I don't get caught up into it like I guess a lot of fans do. I don't look at the payroll. That's understood. You know, when you talk about Yankees, Dodgers, that they're obviously paying a boatload of money. There's no doubt. I like to look at the matchups. I like to look at the star power in this series. And obviously that goes hand in hand with a lot of times making a lot of money. But this matchup, you're just going to see star after star, big name after big name. This is going to be a lot of fun. We don't get this very often. You know, last year we had Rangers Diamondbacks. Did anybody care? That's your World Series. Did anybody care outside of Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, and Phoenix? Anybody care?
I mean, the guy on the other side of this microphone who pretty much is mainline baseball, like, yeah, I did, but that's because I have a baseball addiction.
Yeah, and so do I, and I'm not going to miss it, but it didn't move the needle at all. You're finally getting a matchup that moves the needle, and whether that's in a negative or a positive. Whether that's people that love the fact that these two teams are squaring off, or whether people hate the fact that these two teams are squaring off, they're all going to watch. You're going to set ratings records with this World Series. So people can be grumpy all they want. They'll still be tuning in.
All right, let's talk about your other passion, my friend. Obviously, your favorite college football team plays Ohio State. Tomorrow, that is Nebraska. I don't want to have to go through the reason why you're a Nebraska fan, but your thoughts on what that could look like, and it could get ugly tomorrow. But you tell me.
No. I watched. The kids had games last week. Thank the good Lord. Because at the time that the kids were playing their two games, Nebraska was absolutely getting taken apart by Indiana. And listen, I know Indiana, they're a good team. Their schedule, you know, they've beaten who they're supposed to be. I don't think they've trailed in a game this year. In seven games, I don't think Indiana's trailed. But the way that they took Nebraska apart, you're saying to yourself that tomorrow is going to be a bloodbath. And I'll be there to watch it. Actually, you know what? I won't be. I'll miss the first half of that game too, because we got a softball game tomorrow at 12:30. Regardless, it'll be on my phone, and I would suspect that coming off of the bye, coming off of a loss to Oregon, that Ohio State is going to put it to Nebraska. Like I really don't want to see them do it. You know, I know they're going to win, but I think they're going to win very emphatically, very emphatically.
How much Dylan Raiola stock have you bought?
You know what? I think that this kid has shown. I mean, last week he got picked off three times. He started to kind of do what Flacco did at times last year, especially in the playoff game, where, you know what? We're only going to win if I get red hot. So I'm going to take some chances, and I'm going to make some throws that probably I shouldn't have, but we're down 14, we're down 21. I need to make something happen, and it burned him. And it burned him last week. But outside of that, his decision-making has been fantastic. You know, the problem for him, his offensive line is a sieve, and that, you know, you don't want that. When you're a true freshman, it's already hard enough with the game speeding up on you. Now you've got a line that's porous, and oh, by the way, you can't run the ball. So it all rests on Raiola. He's got a couple of good wide receivers, but he doesn't have difference-making wide receivers at this point. So I really like what I've seen from him. He needs a little bit of help around him. Specifically, you'd love to see him get the running game going. That will not happen tomorrow, of course, but at some point maybe they can get that going. But I do like this Raiola kid. He comes from, obviously his father was a center in the NFL for a long time, played at Nebraska. He spent a lot of time growing up. You know, his dad played for the Lions, Dominic. So Matthew Stafford was the quarterback. A lot of time around Stafford, a lot of time around the game. So he's one of those kids that has an understanding of how things work. So I really like him. But he probably is in line for a very long afternoon tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to ask you a couple questions here about our favorite thing to talk about on our own little text chain that we have here. Your thoughts on Jameis Winston starting this week for the Browns?
Thank you. Please. Listen.
Well, did you like him when he was in Tampa? I mean, you had bird's eye view down there.
Yeah, he was fine. You know, he's a lot like Joe Flacco. He's going to try to make some – he can make all the throws, and he's going to try to make some that he probably shouldn't. He's going to throw for a lot of yards and maybe throw you two or three touchdowns, but we might throw you two or three picks too. You know, it kind of like back in the day when Vinny Testaverde was quarterbacking for Cleveland. You know, you knew he was going to put up some good yards, good chance for a couple of touchdowns, but you also knew he could throw it to the other team as well as anybody. So that's kind of how Jameis was down here. I just – watching the Browns this year – listen – I'm a fan of baseball. I'm not a fan of a specific team. I hope the Rays do well because it makes my job more fun, more interesting. I hope Cleveland does well because I love the city and I want good things for that team and that franchise and the people that work for it. But I don't live and die with losses by the Rays and or Cleveland and or anybody else in the sport of baseball. I'm not a huge NBA guy. Pay attention to the playoffs. I hope the Cavs do well. I don't live and die with it. I love the Maple Leafs. I don't live and die with the Maple Leafs. I have lived and died with the Cleveland Browns since I knew what the Cleveland Browns were. I mean, I cannot get enough of this team. I have the unbelievable Sundays where they win and you've got Dig Yourself Monday and you're feeling great. You have the tough losses where it just ruins the back half of your weekend. I've been that guy with that team forever. I have never been so disconnected and just apathetic about a team in my life. This has been a really difficult team to like. And I certainly haven't for 1 second gotten down after a loss, because you realize the product that they're running out there is it's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not good. This is a team that's going to pick in the top three, top five this coming year.
Yeah.
And this is a team coming off of in the playoffs last year with a lot of, you know, I think the biggest indictment to Deshaun Watson for me, and this is maybe stretching it out there a little bit, the biggest indictment on Deshaun Watson was the team not re-signing Joe Flacco. Why didn't they re-sign Joe Flacco? Because they knew as soon as Watson starts to do what he's going to do and what he has done, people were going to be clamoring for Joe Flacco, and they didn't want to have to put up with that mess.
All right, B.A., right? I got to ask you really quick because I got 1 minute left here. And I'm wondering, I'm trying to think if this happened to you in 03 or
well,
not.
Hold on. Okay. My point in saying all that is the fact that they wouldn't re-sign him, they already knew that there would be controversy.
Sure.
They knew that there would be controversy because they know that number four can't play. But they ran him out there anyway because of the money, and you see where they're at now.
All right, so, I got 30 seconds. Listen, if you're in a locker room and you know you're on you're in your last year of a deal, or you're only on a one-year deal and your team is losing, what's it like to go to work? And I only have 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, it's professional pride. Yeah. Do you want to play next year? You're on a 1 year deal. Do you want to play next year? Then you better go put on tape a guy who, doesn't matter if the team's losing or not, this guy gives it his all and plays good football week in and week out, practices hard. That's how you stay in the league, and that's how you'll get a job next year. That's what you do.
B.A., you're the man.
If you're going to dog it and you're going to quit, then maybe you shouldn't be in the league to begin with.
Gotcha. B.A., as always, you're the man. We love talking to you, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your Halloween, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
Enjoy
the Halloween.
I will. See you, boys.
Peace. All right, he is Brian Anderson. You know him, we love him, and of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Time for a 2020 with Hody.